Amen. Good morning. Good morning and welcome. Look, folks in the sanctuary already having a good time. Amen. They are cracking jokes up in here, laughing, joyful, rejoicing in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So we bless God on this day. We bless him for all that he's done. Come on, we're going to be in Psalm 147, so just get with it. Amen. If you're in your house right now, please stand for the reading of God's word. Amen. If you're in your house, if you're in your apartment, in your home, amen, stand for the word of God. Turn your Bible app to Psalm 147. Amen. And we're going to read through. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, so I'm going to start verse 2, then I'm going to jump back to verse 1. Amen. Verse 2 says, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Amen. The psalm is talking about who God is. It says, he counts the number of the stars and he calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. Somebody should be saying amen by now. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Gives us instruction. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth. Amen. Before we need the rain, he's prepared it. Come on, Sister Leah. Amen. Who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens that cry. Amen. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of man. Amen. It's not in what we do. Amen. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. Amen. That means we call on him when we're in need. We don't call on others. We call on the name of the Lord. Amen. Verse 12, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. There ought to be some hallelujahs in the house. For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. And listen what he's done. He's blessed your children within you. Amen. While they're still in your womb, they are blessed. He makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest wheat. He sends out his command to the earth. Amen. He sends the word out on our behalf. Amen. His word runs very swiftly. Amen. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out his hail like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. Amen. Glory to God. He's melting our heart that we might receive him. He causes his wind to blow and the waters to flow. Amen. He declares his word to Jacob. He's speaking it over us now. His statutes and his judgments to Israel. Verse 20, he has not dealt thus with any nation. As for his judgments, they have not known them. Amen. We have not received what we deserved. Amen. So that's verse 20. But if we go back to verse 1 where our commandment is, it says, praise the Lord. For it is good to sing praises to our God. Amen. Do you see where we're starting this morning? For it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. Amen. Come on, church. Where is your beautiful praise on this morning? Glory to God. Where is your beautiful praise online this morning? On the stream this morning, where is the beautiful praise in your house today? Glory to his name. We welcome you in this place today, O Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, O God.
glory. To God be all the glory. Hallelujah. 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 How fitting that scripture, as we are going to praise the Lord together, as we are going to sing and declare how great and awesome is our God. Hallelujah. The splendor of our King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! For all will see how great is our God! Oh, how great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! For all will see how great is our God! I'm gonna sing that second verse. Oh, and age to age He stands, and time is in His hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. Sing with me, how great, for all will see, how great is our God, how great, sing with me, is our God, for all will see. How great is our God! Oh, He's the name above all names. Thank you, Lord. And He's worthy. And our hearts will sing. How great is our God! He's the name. He's the name above all names. And He's worthy. And our hearts will sing. How great is our God. He's the name. How great. He's the name. For all will see how great is our God. He's the name, how great, He's the name, is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. For all will see how great is our God. How great, how great, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. For all will see how great is our God. How great, how great, how great. How great is our God. is our God, for all will see how great is our God. Hallelujah. 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 We serve a great God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We serve a great God. We serve a faithful God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as we come into this song, that we come and we adore him. Hallelujah. Because he is so great. He is so awesome. Oh, come all ye faithful. Hallelujah. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of a singing exaltation. Glory, sing all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory in the highest.
Glory in the highest.
And all come.
Oh, come,
let us adore. Adore him. Oh, come, let us
adore Him, Christ the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go on and give Him some praise. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to His name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're worthy, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're worthy, oh God. Hey, glory. You're worthy, oh Lord. Glory to Your name. We adore You, oh God. Hallelujah. 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 Y'all sat down like you didn't have to get right back up. So whether you stand for Pastor Ford or whether you stand for the Lord this morning, glory to God, all raise up. Hallelujah. In your homes and in your apartments and in the house of God this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to His name. Oh, we bless You, O Lord. Hallelujah. We thank You for this, another Lord Sunday morning. Grateful to see all of you again. Hey, if you have your Bibles, we're going to go right to the Word of God. We're in the 12th chapter of St. Mark. There is a parable there concerning the vine dressers, and we're going to take a moment or two to look at that and to see what we might glean from the Word of God. Amen. Before I begin, I want to start by giving special thanks to Sister Cassandra McCoy and her elves for beautifully decorating the sanctuary and our entire church building. Amen. Once again, they did a fantastic job, and we want to thank them for that. Also, I want to special thanks to Sister Zakia and Sister Jermay for organizing and arranging our Angel Tree gift-giving event for this year. Amen. So we want to thank them for all the work, and as well as their elves. I know there's a lot of elves involved in all this, but we thank you for the gifts given. Thank you for those who have wrapped and participated, that on the next couple of Sundays, we can be a blessing to families who have parents that are incarcerated. Amen? Amen. So again, our primary text is Mark 12. I'll invite you to turn there, and we're going to add to the witness out of the book of Acts, the 4th chapter, and just look at a couple of verses there, beginning at verse 8. Amen? So if you're there, you'll find this parable. It says, "Then he began to speak to them in parables. He said, a man planted a vineyard, and he set a hedge around it. He dug a place for the wine vat, and he built a tower, and he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. Now at the vintage time or harvest time, he sent a servant to the vine dressers that he might receive some of the fruit of the vineyard from the vine dressers. And they took him, beat him, and sent him away empty handed. So again, he sent another servant, and at him they threw stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully. And again, he sent another, and they killed, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing others. Therefore, still having one son, his beloved, he also sent him to them at last, saying, they will respect
my son. But those vine dressers said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. At the end of the day, they were thieves and robbers. And so they took him, killed him, and cast him out of the vineyard. Jesus said, therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do? Surely he will come and destroy the vine dressers and give the vineyard to others. Have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Amen. Let's add to the witness out of Acts, the fourth chapter, beginning at verse 8. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Right? You have your own Bible right there in parentheses. You could write vine dressers. You have your own Bible. If you got a church Bible, don't write that. Right? This is what he said to him. He said, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to this helpless man, the man has just been healed, says, by what means he has been made well? He said, y'all want to know how he did it? This is how he did it. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, you have your own Bible. In parentheses, write, rejected. Okay? Whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. Peter then quotes the same psalm that Jesus quotes and says, this is the stone which was rejected. Stone, Jesus. Rejected, crucified by you builders. The builders here are the same as the vine dressers in the parable Jesus told, right? Which has become the chief cornerstone. Verse 12 in conclusion. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Amen. So with the moments I have this morning, I want to talk from the subject, the rejected stone and the resurrected chief cornerstone. Okay? Jesus draws that analogy. The stone, rejected, has now become the chief, the primary building block for God's plan of redemption is Jesus Christ. He's the chief cornerstone. Are you with me? If you got it, say, I got it. If you want to preach this sermon, say, Pastor, give it to me. Oh, this is the wrong church this Sunday. Father in heaven, we thank you for the simplicity of the Word of God. Thank you that the simplicity has caused others to look over, scoff, reject, neglect your message. But to those that you have called for glory, for salvation, you have given us ears to hear it. You have given us a mind that we may understand it and lay hold to the mysteries in the kingdom of God. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for giving us the power to embrace and obey the Word of God. We realize today more than ever that obedience is better than sacrifice. Be with us in the moments we spend here together. We ask it in Christ's name for his sake and his glory alone. All of God's people say amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. Now, before we jump into this, I'm going to press rewind just for a minute and remind you that on last Sunday, we were speaking about a question of authority, right? That's what last Sunday was about, right? Right. This is the Passion Week of Christ. He's entered triumphantly, right? Right. He comes in with a lot of fanfare and raucous, only to get to the temple, the place that he's destined to go, only to find it deserted and empty, right? The next morning, he awakens, and seeing a fig tree, being hungry, being in the morning, he goes to it, expecting to find fruit. He finds none and curses it, right? There he proceeds to go to the temple, which is now ablaze with activity and action and people running here and there, and the whole thing is in motion, and he is upset by it. And he says that his father's house should be called a house of prayer for all nations. And he begins to overturn the tables of the money changers and those that sold doves. And he even stops those who are moving across the temple grounds in support of the sacrificial system. All right? Only to depart and come back the next day, come to the temple. And when he arrives this day, he is confronted by the religious leaders who ask him the question, by what authority do you do the things that you have done? Who gave you the right to overturn the money changers? Who gave you the right to stop the sacrifices from moving back and forth across the temple grounds, right? Jesus answers their question with a question. He said, before I tell you what authority I have, you tell me concerning John's baptism. Reasoning among themselves, they tell Jesus, we do not know, which in fact was a lie. They did know, but they didn't want to expose themselves. So they said, we don't know, right? And so now, right on the heel of that, right? He's talking to them on this hand, and after they tell him they don't know, then Jesus says, well, I'm not going to tell you by what authority I have. He turns around, it's all right here, and he begins to tell a parable, right? And I'm working this all because I want you to understand this group that came to him, right, to ask by what authority he's doing these things are in earshot of what he's telling the people. So it's not like they walked away. They didn't, right? If you go down at the very end of it, the very last verse says, they sought to lay hands on him, but feared the multitude, for they knew he had spoken the parable against them, right? So they're all in the earshot. So he tells this parable. Here's the parable, right? He said, a man planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a place for a wine vat, and he built a tower in it, right? And he leased it to vine dressers or tenant farmers. He leased it to some men. Said, I built it, but I'm going to hire you guys to run it, right? And from there, he goes into a far country. Jesus often used parables to teach about the kingdom of God. On this particular occasion, he used a parable to expose the evil intentions of the religious leaders of his day. He said a man planted a vineyard. He included a very elaborate fence around it, a wine press, and a watchtower. And then the man leased the vineyard to these tenant farmers and went away. And it's important to understand that he leased it, right? Because we do realize that when you lease a car, it's not yours, right? At some point, you got to do what with that car? You got to get it. And for all the damage you've done, you're what? You're penalized, right? Because the owner of a car is expecting not only to get it back, but to get it back in the same, if not better, condition. Right? So he leased them the vineyard. And so here it is. This is simple. This is the ABCs of it. This is a Sunday school message. It comes clear. The man or the vineyard owner is what? God. Right? The vineyard is in fact the nation of Israel. God's what? Chosen people. Right? The tenant farmers or the vine dressers are Israel's religious leaders. Okay? Priest, high priest, Levitical priesthood, all of those, right? God was the source and provider and protector for his people. He entrusted his vineyard, his chosen people, to the leaders, right, who were to care for them on his behalf. Are you with me? Now, at the vintage time or harvest time, he sent a servant to the vine dresser. Servants are prophets. Okay? That's who he sent. God sent his prophets, right, to the vine dressers that he might receive some of the fruit of the vineyard from his vine dressers. He sent expecting to get some kind of profit off his investment. With his own investment, vineyard, wine press, wine vat, vine, all that. Now he's looking to get some. Let me help you with this message, too. For you to realize that as children of God, God is looking to get some profit or increase from you. That's why you can't be in Christ and stay in the same place. He says, I prefer you either hot, growing, producing, or cold, dead, and I'm going to cut you on the vine. Right? But you just can't. He's coming back and he's looking for an increase, right? Show me what you've done with the gifts and talent. You got five. You got two. I'm looking for an increase. Look at somebody say, we owe him an increase. So they took him, beat him, sent him away empty-handed. Sent another servant. This one, they threw stones at him and wounded him in the head. Sent him away shamefully treated. They sent another, and him they killed, and they sent even more, and he said they beat some and killed others. This is how they treated the prophets. And your Bible is just read the Old Testament. You see how they treated the prophets. It's not nothing new, right? And so he says, at harvest time, the owner sent servant to collect some of the fruit from the vineyard. But on each occasion when the servants were sent, the farmers or the vine dressers treated them shamefully, brutally beating them and even killing many of them. This is a vivid description of how the leaders of Israel had abused God's prophets throughout their history. And though he sent them to warn his people to keep his covenant with them by pursuing righteousness, they refused. They owed God their obedience. However, they scornfully mistreated and even killed God's prophets, demonstrating their scorn and distaste for God himself. Right? How we treat the men and women of God is how we treat God himself. How I treat you and interact with you, that God looks at that and evaluates it as if that were himself. Right? So now, the landowner says, you know what? This time I'm going to send my son. Right? And this is how you know his son is Christ. Look what he says. Still having one son, his what? Beloved. Right? Beloved. These are all clues. You should be tying this together. He's got one son. God only got one son. And his son is his what? Beloved son, right? Isn't that his baptism scene? Right? Heavens roll back. This is my what? Beloved son in whom I am So he sent them to saying, they will respect my son. Right? He didn't respect my servants. But this guy is my, this is me. My son is me. Right? I'm sending my son. But the vine dresser said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. They took him, killed him, cast him out of the vineyard. Finally, the owner sends the farmers his beloved son. Surely they will honor and receive their master's own beloved son. But instead, the wicked farmer saw that killing the owner's son as an opportunity to possess his inheritance. By telling this parable, Jesus revealed the true intentions of the Jewish leaders, which was to rule Israel without the Messiah. That was the end game. We want Israel to be ours. Right? That's what the game was. Right? I told you, it's what? It's a question of what? Authority. Right? They wanted to keep the authority so that what? They could do what they wanted to do. They could raise the taxes on the sacrifice. They could charge the tax collectors, whatever, you know what I mean? They just had the authority and the power. Let me tell you a secret. There's one thing people in power always want. You know what that is? Not more power, to keep the power they have. No, even if they don't get no more, don't take away the power I got. As long as I can keep my power, I can keep working the what? System. Why? Because I'm in charge of it. I got power. I got authority. Right? So here it is. Look, we down the road. We almost finished. Now, therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the vine dressers and give the vineyards to others. The farmers were foolish to believe that the owner would sit idly by and do nothing. So many people think God is not going to do anything, right? But Romans 12 tells us, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord God, right? That's why we are able to what? Hold our peace. Why? Because the Lord will fight us. Why? Because vengeance belongs to God. Right? Help me preach. Look at your neighbor and tell him it does not belong to you. If I sat down, I already preached. So many of us take responsibility for getting even, and that's not your job. Not your job. I just gave you the word of God. 12:19, Romans. Vengeance. That belongs to God. It belongs to God. Why? Because we belong to God. What they are doing to you is not to you alone. It is against and an affront to God Himself. So God said, I'll handle it. Right? Your job is just keep living for me. He said, before it's all over, I'm going to settle the score. Right? I'm going to settle up. Right? That should be an encouragement for you. Because absent of that knowledge, we do what? We try to get even ourselves. Why? Because we don't believe anyone's going to fight for us, fighting our battle. So we take vengeance in our own hands, but it's not your job. God would justly execute them, and You got this is a mouthful. If you get this, you're down the road. It says, God will execute them and he will give the vineyard to others. Right? This is significant. This speaks of God's coming judgment on the religious leaders and the temporary shifting of God's kingdom program from Israel to the church. You guys with me on that? Right? Israel will always be God's chosen people. And the reason he chose them, this is important, Israel's job, the reason for God choosing them, was to be a witness nation. That means they were to show the world, this is how you walk in right relationship with God, our Creator. Right? That was their job, to be an example. This is the one true God, and this is how you live in right relationship with Him. But Israel failed in that regard. Right? They failed. And in an attempt, and as God sets things back in the correct perspective, put it back into right alignment, he sends his son, right? The last Adam, to do what Israel failed to do. Christ comes and he lives what? In perfect harmony and in right relationship with God the Father for all to see. For all to see. He didn't do it, hid behind the door. This is how you live. So everything I say, it's because I heard my Father say it. Everything I do because my Father has either done it or has told me to. I'm in right alignment, right? Right? And then he passes that responsibility from himself to the church. So I'm going back because now I must take on a new assignment. And that assignment is I must serve as an intercessor between you and God. Simply meaning when your prayers come up, I tell my Father I'm in agreement with that prayer. And because of my participation in your prayer, the Father does it. Right? Look at somebody and tell them it's not because of you. Your prayers don't get answered because you're cute. Your prayers don't get answered because you pay tithes. Your prayers don't get answered because you volunteer for the... That's not why your prayers get answered. Your prayers get answered because Jesus stamps his blood on your prayer. So to him, it is as if his son has asked for these things in your life. Right? That's why he said, when you pray, what? Say in Jesus, put my name on it, right? So when it comes up, I can intercede between you and the Father. And now the responsibility to be a witness nation is now ours, right? Until the final hours when he sets all things, where what? A remnant of Israel will be restored, right? Then you see the coming together in revelations of both Israel and the church into God's new kingdom. You follow what I'm saying? If you got it, say, I got it. All right, here it is. Let's finish with it and get down the road. Jesus then shifts the metaphor from the vineyards of Palestine to the Old Testament Psalms and quotes from the 118th Psalm, and in so doing identifies himself as the rejected stone that will ultimately become the preeminent stone, or better stated, the chief cornerstone in God's new kingdom. Right? And so Acts tells us it is here that Peter says, be it known to all of you that the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom by the way you crucified, whom God has now raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here whole. God healed him because of Jesus of Nazareth. And this Jesus of Nazareth is the stone which was set at naught by you builders, which has become the head cornerstone. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given whereby men must be saved. What's his name, church? Yeah, what's his name, church? No other name but the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Their rejection of God's agenda and God's authority could not and would not prevent God from accomplishing his plan and his purpose. And get this, here's your shouting point. And neither will your rejection by others, by haters, by vine dressers, by those that don't like you, by those that are offended by your own presence, their rejection of you cannot, will not stop the plan, purpose, and will of God in your life. Somebody shout, yes. That's why the Roman writer tells us, we know that all things work together for good to them that are called of God and that love him and are called according to his purpose. This message is to help you realize that God is behind the scenes and he's working it out in your behalf. It may not seem like it. It may not feel like it. But God is working every rejection, every refusal, every rebuke. God is keeping an account, and in due season, God will raise you up again, the rejected stone. He is the resurrected cornerstone. If Christ was rejected and raised by the Father, so will you. Somebody shout yes. Get this. Their rejection is part of God's plan. So often in life, when things don't go right, we assume that there's something wrong with the Father's plan. And we fail to realize that the detours of life, we don't read the word close enough to understand that the rejections of life are all a part of God's plan. He had to be rejected. He had to be rejected. If they didn't reject him, he would have become a part of what? Their system. That's why Jesus and John the Baptist always operated where? Outside the system. Why? They weren't a part of that. That's not God's system. So they operated outside of the system. But because they operated outside of the system, they were rejected by those in authority. Jesus and John both realized that the rejections are a part of God's plan. The rejections, get this, the rejections are more important than the successes. I wish I had my real church this Sunday. The rejections in life force you to pray. Successes don't force you to pray. Successes cause you to give testimony over and over again that we get tired of hearing about. That's what successes do. But rejections will make you come to church and don't say nothing. Rejections is what's caused you during praise and worship to lay down on the altar and have everybody ask, what's the matter? Nothing wrong with her. Everything is going according to plan. I hope I help somebody. Somebody's going through some tough times, tough situations. They're in a hard, and I'm just trying to encourage you as your pastor. Don't worry. It's all a part of the plan. You're right. Yep, you're right on schedule. Yep, you're right on time. Right, you're right where he wants you. And if you can just keep the faith and understand that God will take care of the vine dressers. It's not your job. Your job is to keep the faith. Your job is to focus on him. Due season. They'll look up and they say, man, the stone that was rejected by the system has become the main building block in God's kingdom. That's what you are. You're the main building blocks. God's going to use you to build your family into something. God is going to use you to be the foundation for what he does in that neighborhood. But you got to be able to deal with a little bit of rejection and a lot of frustration. I'm just trying to tell you that God, he's behind the scene. It's all working out for your good. If you believe that, shout amen. Amen. Amen again. Come on, give God the best praise. Come on, give your God the best praise. If you believe God's going to work it out for you, give him the best praise. Lord, I thank you. Not only for my ups. Lord, I thank you for my downs. Lord, I thank you not only for my successes, but I thank you for my rejection. Come on, let's stand and get out of here. Let's stand and get out of here. Oh, bless his name forever. You're here this Sunday. You'll find yourself, you're in the middle of tough times. You're here this Sunday and you find yourself between a rock and a hard place. I'm going to ask the ministers to come. If you need prayer this Sunday, come and get it. If you need to feel the hand, the arm of the Lord in your life, the altar of the Lord is open for you. I know the season is festive and the place is all dressed up and look nice. And though a lot of times we look nice on the outside, we can be in a tough place on the inside. If you would like prayer this Sunday, the altar of the Lord is open for you. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. That's what I love about the story. We just have to wait on the Lord. His redemption and his restoration of us is sure. And so we come and say, here am I, Lord. Here am I. Lord, renew my faith. Jesus told Peter, he said, I pray that your faith fail thee not. Nothing material, nothing tangible. He said, I pray that your faith. Because if you can just hang in there. He said, I'm telling you, it's all a part of the plan. Your redemption cometh nigh. If you're here, will you come? this Christmas season, come and say, Lord, I need help. Lord, I'm in a tight place. I'm in a difficult place. Lord, things are not where I hoped they would be by the end of this year. And so I'm coming. So I'm coming. That's why I'm here, Lord. That's why I'm here. I'm dealing with vine dressers in my life. Got people that are rejecting me from their system. But thank God for the word. Because now I know that rejection from their system opens the door for me to operate in your system. And that you can get all the glory. If you hear everyone everywhere, even those listening at home, bow your heads. Father, we thank you this Sunday. We thank you this Sunday for the clarion call of the gospel. We thank you this Sunday for the moving and unction of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, and above all, we thank you this Sunday for these you have called to the altar. Father, you know their heart's condition. You know their unique and individual circumstance. And so we pray now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We pray the interceding power of the Son of God. Father, we ask now in the name of your Son, get involved in their circumstance. Get involved in their situation. Show yourself strong in their life. Begin to move in the secret place. Begin to stir them again on the good works do for them according to your will, plan, and purpose. God, open doors. God, make ways. God, perform miracles in the name of Jesus and cause their latter years to be better than the former days. This is our prayer. This is our request. We join with our sisters. We join with our brothers. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. God, send a deliverance. God, send a breakthrough. God, send a turnaround. We enter into the new year. God, either way, we're going to give you all the glory. We're going to give you all the praise. We're going to give you all the honor. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we give you the glory. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our cry. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayer. Thank you, Lord, for letting us know that we're in the center of God's will. Go with us now. Stand up strong in the believer everywhere. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Yes, Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we give you all the glory. Lord, we give you all the honor. Thank you for hearing our cry. Thank you for answering our prayer. Hallelujah. I cried unto the Lord, and he heard my cry. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for forgiving my sins. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah to God. Thank you for creating in me a clean heart. Thank you, Lord, for renewing a right spirit inside of me. Lord, I thank you. I want to do better next year. I want to live better next year. I want to give you the glory. Help me, Lord. Help me to be a vessel of honor and not of dishonor. I want you to get the glory. I want you to be magnified in my life. This is my prayer. This is my heart's desire, Lord. I want to live for you. I want to die for you. Yes, I do, Lord. I want to be a light shining with the brightness of your Son. Shine bright. Shine bright in my heart. Shine bright in my life. Get the glory. Get the glory out of my life. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Help me to lift up holy hands without wrath. Teach me how to speak the truth at all times. Show me not how to backbite against my brother. Hallelujah to God. Help me to give you the glory. Help me to give you the honor. Help me to live for you. You're watching us this Sunday, online, in your home, at work, wherever you are, give him the glory. God is going to use you. God is going to bless you. God is going to multiply you according to his word. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Oh, my soul, love him. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we give you the glory. Thank you for what you have done. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing now. Oh, my God. Come pass him about on every side, Lord. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Yeah, God is doing a new thing. Oh, yes, thank God. It's a new year. God is going to do a new thing. Oh, my God. Hallelujah to God. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for the newness of life. Thank you for the refreshing waters of salvation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the Lord have his way. Let the Lord have his way. Let him have his way in your life, your mind, your body, your soul. Hallelujah. Make him your priority. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Hallelujah. Make him your priority. Glory to God. You're a priority to God. You matter to God. God sees where you are. God knows what you're going through. Yes, he does. He's your provider. Hallelujah to God. He's the one that will sustain you, keep you, preserve you. Hallelujah. Yeah, let the Lord do it. Yeah, let the Lord do it. Yeah, let the Lord do it. Lord, fill them, Lord. Fill them, Lord. Fill them with your spirit. Hallelujah today, God. Fill a fresh anointing. Hallelujah to God. Fill them again. Stir them again, oh God. In the name of Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's what I want. I want the Holy Ghost to fall fresh. I want the anointing of God to fall fresh. Hallelujah. That's what I want for Christmas. I want the Holy Ghost to fall fresh on me. Yes, I do. Yes, I do, Lord. Yes, I do, Lord. Not only on me, but fall on my house, Lord. Hallelujah. Let it be a house unto God. Hallelujah. Fall in my house, God. Hallelujah. Let it be a house unto God. Let it be a house unto righteousness. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the Lord do a new thing in you. Let the Lord stir the gifts. Hallelujah. Of righteousness in you. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Yeah, the altar of God is open. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. Whatever you need, whatever you desire, whatever you lack, God will provide it. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. The new year. Hallelujah. It's going to be a new move of God in my life. The new year. God's going to begin doing new things in me. Yes, I feel it in my soul. Hallelujah. I feel it down in the cellar of my soul. Yes, God. Yes, God. Hallelujah, in the spirit. Yes, Lord. My swag, my water's about to break. Hallelujah. I'm about to give birth to new things. Oh, glory to God. Something I've never seen before. Things I've never done before. God, the creative Elohim, is going to overshadow. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Help me. Help me, Holy, good God, help me, help me. Yes, yes, let the Holy Spirit overshadow you. Yes, yes, let him into your prayer closet. Let him into your devotion time. Holy Ghost, come upon me. Hallelujah, Holy Ghost. Woo! Yes, yes, yes. I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah to God. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Hallelujah. Yes, let him in. Let him in, church. Let him in. That whosoever will, let him come. And drink of the waters of life freely. Holy Spirit, I thank you. Thank you for what I sense in my spirit. Thank you for what I'm seeing in your word. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Lord, I thank you. Yes, Lord, I thank you. Yes, hallelujah. Olive branches. Hallelujah to God. I see olive branches in the spirit. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. God, thank you for the olive branch. Hallelujah. Thank you for the dove. Ah, glory to God. Thank you for the dove. Hallelujah to God. Thank you for your spirit, Lord. Let it rest on me. Let it rest on me. Yeah. Let your spirit rest on me. Let your presence abide in my heart, that I might live for you, that I might walk for you, that my life become a living epistle, read and written among men. Lord, I'll tell of your goodness. Lord, I'll tell my testimony, what the Lord has done. I tell them where you brought me from. I'll tell them about every rejection. I'll tell them about every refusal. I'll tell them how I was kicked out of the system. Tell them how, like you, I was kicked out of the vineyard. Oh, but your amazing grace. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's what picked me up. Your amazing grace. Yeah, that's what put me back on my feet. Hallelujah. Your amazing grace. That's what turned my whole life around. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah to God, hallelujah to God, hallelujah to God. Help me, help me, help me, Holy Ghost, help me, Holy Ghost, don't leave me. Hallelujah, Holy Ghost, don't leave, good God, help me, help me, help me, help me, Holy Ghost. We need your help now. We need you more now than we've ever needed you before. You promise never to leave. You promise never to forsake us. Cause me to feel your presence. Cause me to live in the sunlight of your love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help me to walk in your power and not my own. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that I'm blessed. Thank you, Lord, that Sunday morning I'm blessed. The blessings of the Lord be upon you now. He's not only going to bless you, he's going to bless your whole house. He's going to bless everything connected to you. Your companions shall be blessed. Your children shall be blessed. Your friends shall be blessed. Everything connected to the man or woman of God. Yeah. That's how anointed God's going to make you. That's the overflow of the Holy Spirit. That's the overflow. That's the abundance. He said, I would that you have fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Thank God in 2024, we're going into much fruit. Hallelujah. There shall be more than enough. That speaks of the abundance of God. That speaks of the unending resources that God has available for you. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I believe in you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the ministry of the chief cornerstone. Thank you. Oh my God, Lord, I thank you. The same anointing that's here is in your house. The same move of the Holy Ghost here is happening there. Hallelujah. Just trust God where you are. Anoint yourself. Anoint your house, your windows, your doors. Hallelujah. Satan, we come against you. Hallelujah. 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 That same anointing. Hallelujah. Not only in the church house, but that same anointing shall be in my house. That same anointing, hallelujah, shall be in my workplace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In my home, in my house, my garage, my kitchen, my living room, my hallelujah. It shall be a house unto God. Glory, 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 glory to God. The same anointing. The same anointing. Same anointing by which he anointed his own son. So now he anoints you as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Oh, thank God. Thank God. I'm right where he wants me. Hallelujah. I'm right on track. I'm right on time. The Lord has not forgotten about me, nor has he abandoned me. Therefore, I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, bless his name forever. He knows what we need, when we need it, and how to get it to us. I don't know about you. I'm so glad I came to church Sunday. I don't know what I would do. If I were to wake up tomorrow and see this level of anointing on the website, I would punch you and me for missing church. But I'm like David, I was glad. When they said unto me, let us go. Good God, that's where my help is. That's where my, if I can just get to the house of the Most High. Glory to God. There's help there. Hallelujah. Provision is in the house. Glory to God. If I could just get there, I know the Lord would make a way. For me. Holy Ghost, we thank you. Thank you for the moving of and by your Spirit. Thank you for reminding us we belong to you. This world is not our world, nor is it our home. But we have a house up in glory. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to say this. I'm going to put this mic down. Stop trying to make this world your home. It's not. It's not. This world is not your home, and this world system is not yours. Part of the frustration you're feeling is you're trying to get this world to work for you. Newsflash, it can't. Why? Because the blood's on you. It wants to work for you. Better yet, it wants to work in you, but it can't. Why? The blood's all around you. So the system gets frustrated when it can't control you. And that's why it kicks you out. You won't play by its rules or govern yourself according to its authority. But I tell you this, I'd rather be out with the world and in with Jesus. That's the choice. I'm willing to make that choice. I don't need what the world has to offer me when God has so much more. God bless you, Taylor. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. I'm going to open the doors of our church. If you're here this Sunday, you don't have a church home. If you're here this Sunday, and you don't have pastoral care. You're here this Sunday and you don't have a house of worship where you can go hear the word of God, feel the moving of the Spirit. The doors of this church are open now unto you. Come. Jesus said, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Come, make this your church. Say, Pastor, today you're my pastor. Today Jesus Christ is my Savior. Today I'm making this place my home. If you're here, you're welcome. Spirit of the Lord says welcome. The pastor says welcome. You don't have a place. Don't go through the Christmas season and say, I don't have a home. I don't have a place. This is your home. This is the house of God to which he is calling you now. If you're here this Sunday, before I give up the mic, come. Say, Pastor, I want to make this my church. I want to make this my, I want these. Jesus looked around and said, these are my brothers and sisters. Turned his back on his own family. Said, these, those that are called of God, these are my brothers. These are my sisters. The house of God is yours. God bless you, Taylor. Be encouraged. Service in the hands of Minister Curitan.
All that are with us today, amen. We want to use this time just to recognize our guests that are here today. So if this is your first time here at Taylor Tabernacle, would you mind standing for us just so we can wave ourselves toward you, amen. Amen. It's Brother James. I got Brother James's name right here, amen. Amen. And I believe we have some of our guest families. Y'all want to holler out your name real quick? Just holler out a first name so we can. Dominique. Mark, Mieko, did I get it right? Amen. And Rochelle, amen. So we welcome all of you. Thanks for coming. Amen. You may be seated. You're welcome anytime here at Taylor Tabernacle. We're open 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Amen. When you can't get here, if you want to join us online, but we really want to see you in the house. So we're so glad on behalf of our membership, our congregation. Y'all just wave one more time at them. Amen. Amen. Over there. They over there, not up here. Wave. Amen. We're so glad. Amen. And we on behalf of our pastor, Elder Jonathan E. Ford, we welcome you as well. We're going to use this part of our service to turn around into our time of tithes and offering, of our time of giving. Brother Gabriel is coming forward, and he will lead you from here. Amen. Immediately after him is our Deaconess Keisha. Who was giving the announcement? It was Deaconess Keisha, right? Okay, she's available. Good, I found her. So she'll be coming up immediately after. Amen.
Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of five ways, including text to give, online given through our website, Venmo, Cash App, or also by using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to TAYLORTABERNACLE.com/given and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. Venmo at Taylor-Tabernacle-6309. Cash App, $Taylor Tabernacle. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, we will find two baskets next to the side ramp door, one for your tithes/offerings, and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit the sanctuary. You may also give an offering to our pastor via Cash App or Venmo. Cash App, $Venmo, Pastor Jonathan Ford. Venmo at Jonathan-Ford-25. As always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry.
Amen. Now for our announcements. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue by Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in the worship from your home. Remember to hit subscribe right there on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. When you decide to join us for in-person worship, please take your temperature before leaving home and bring a mask to wear. If you or someone in your family has had contact with anyone who has had the COVID-19 virus, we encourage you to please stay home. Thank you to everyone who helped make Taylor Tabernacle's participation in Prison Fellowship's Angel Tree successful. We want to welcome all of our Angel Tree families to the Tabernacle this morning. Following the end of the service, please join us on the second floor. We look forward to meeting you. Amen. So here's some upcoming dates for us to write down and remember. December 23rd from noon to 3 p.m., it's our Miracle on 26th Street Holiday Festival Youth Ministry event. The festival will take place with our friends from Open Door Baptist Church at 1632 North 26th Street, and that's Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, North Philly. There'll be food, games, gifts, fun, singing Santa, hot chocolate, cookie decorating, and more. On Wednesday nights, we got prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m. by Google Meet. And then, so if you need the link, please send us a note. Please email us. Ask one of us. We'll give you the link or the address because y'all know we need prayer and Bible study. We need to make it in this world. Sunday school from 8:30 to 9 a.m. also by Google Meet, and that's 2nd through 5th Sundays. So also, if you need the link for your children, feel free to reach out and we'll get it to you. Remember Pastor Ford's YLE challenge to invite your friends, family, and neighbors to participate in our YLE program. There's no watch night service this year, but feel free to join us that Sunday morning or New Year's Eve as we close out 2023. I'm excited to let 2023 go. I don't know if y'all are, but I am excited to see it gone. So this is how we're going to close out the year in morning worship, and feel free to join a friend if their church is having a watch night service. And Pastor Ford would like you to join him in a New Year's fast. He's asking all members to fast from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and pray 6 a.m., noon, and 6 p.m. from Tuesday, January 2nd through Saturday, January 6th. Pastor is also asking all members to attend the first Sunday service on January 7th, and we'll have 8:30 a.m. in-person corporate prayer, 10 a.m. morning worship, followed by fellowship dinner on the third floor. Come out and let's start the new year together. Please contact Deaconess Barbara Williams for what you can contribute to our fellowship dinner. Amen. I'm going to invite our pastor to give us the benediction. So we'll stand to welcome him out.
So, hold up real quick before we get that out. For the Angel Tree families that are here, for the Angel Tree participants that are here, once I give some closing remarks, you're invited to go up to the second floor. Folks are already up there waiting to receive you. Okay, so I wanted to just share that. And then I mentioned on last Sunday that everyone has received either new or maybe renewed watch care assignments, okay? And there was some confusion about that, about really what is watch care, what does that mean to me, that type of stuff. And so I'm going to give this benediction, and then I'm going to ask you to sit down before anyone goes anywhere. And I just want you to give me 5 minutes so that I can explain what watch care means to you and to me, okay? And I'm going to do it. They're going to keep the camera and everything rolling. So whether you're here in the sanctuary or whether you're joining us virtually, I just want you to hear it from me so we can all have an understanding, and I'll have an opportunity for a couple questions. And then after that, we can head upstairs for Watch Tree or whatever your responsibility be. Is that fine? Okay. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the significance of the Holy Spirit, the role he plays in our lives. Holy Spirit, thank you for confirming for us yet again that we belong to God. Thank you. We praise you. In Christ's name for his sake, amen. You be seated. Todd's going to hand out. They said, give me one so I know what I'm saying. Thank you. And if you bear with me, just give me a couple. I mean, everybody can grab one. If you give me this indulgence, and then we'll be okay. And so, as I said on last Sunday, as many of you remember, this year we ordained new deacons and deaconess in the church. Have them come in. Yeah, come on in. Come in and hang out. Seats everywhere. Come in. Have a seat. Thank you for coming. Welcome. Good. I'm getting my hair cut just like that. I'm letting it grow. Y'all gonna see. What I had indicated, as a result of having new deacons and deaconess, I indicated that, all the church members would have new watch care assignments. And so some of the questions that arose was, what is watch care? And so I just wanted to take an opportunity to explain what watch care is in our church. Okay. So hopefully you have that handout. It's a couple extra copies if you need one, but I'm just going to walk through it. Okay. So what is watch care? So watch care is a pastoral responsibility, right? What's the only job in the world that everybody knows the job requirements? The pastor's job. People who don't even know, go to church know, oh yeah, that's the pastor's job. That was a joke. Y'all missed it. All right. The pastor's job, here it is. The pastor's job is to teach and to care for the church. That's my responsibility. That's any pastor's responsibility. We have a teaching responsibility that we execute through preaching on Sundays, Bible studies, midweek, and then to care for the church, right? Not just to preach you, but to care for you, right? To be there for you, to help you, that type of thing. And in carrying out that, the ministers and deacons play an important role because they assist the pastor in fulfilling that responsibility. You can imagine as the church continues to grow, it soon grows outside of the arm's length of any pastor. No pastor, no woman, man, can do it all. And so that's where the deacons and the minister come alongside. the pastor to assist. So responsibility number one, to teach you. Ephesians, you got it there in the notes, 4:11. This is the fivefold ministry. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, and some pastors and some teachers. Here's the purpose: for the equipping of the saints, to equip you, prepare you. Again, that's what we do through the preaching of the word. It is to equip you and to prepare you, right, for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ, to edify, instruct you in the things of God. Okay, that's the primary role of a pastor and what a pastor does through their teaching ministry. And again, the ministers and the deacons help me in that regard, because sometimes in place of me, they teach, instruct, right? You see them on Sunday morning. Sometimes you see them on Wednesday nights. This past Wednesday night, I wasn't on, right? And one of the ministers filled in, Reverend Lyons. Thank you for that, right? So they come alongside me and helping me fulfill that responsibility, okay? The second responsibility is to care for you. 1 Peter 5:2 says, he's writing here to the pastors in this local letter. He says, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. It was so funny that he gave me this verse for this occasion, having just preached the sermon that I preached. Why? Because those pastors, they were rabbis and all of that, but those religious leaders did what? They misused the authority. And instead of caring for the people of Israel, they were what? Robbing them blind. They took advantage of them. And that's what he means by compulsion or evil gain. That's not that. Our job as pastors is to come along and help care for you, right? To help you move down the road in terms of your spiritual development. And again, the ministers and deacons help me in that regard. Okay. And so any church you go to, if you're going to sit there and make that church a church that you and your family belong, make sure they're teaching the word of God and make sure there has a pastor that has a caring heart for you. If not, find another church. Okay. That's the function, right? Then this was in here. I wrote a note here in the middle of the page. It says, we all need help, especially in the way of salvation. Here's watch care now coming in effect. Look what Ecclesiastes says. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. If they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he have no one else to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they have heat. How can one be warm by himself? If one prevails against him, two shall withstand him. And a trifold cord is not easily broken. Your watch care person, as an extension of your pastor, is to do just this, to be someone walking with you on the path of salvation. The number one reason people leave churches is because they don't make a connection with anyone. Why go anywhere, whether it's to a church or a job or a concert? If you don't have if I don't have someone there that what? I can talk to, that I can relate to, and who can relate to me. That's important. Why? Because if you're going to make it in salvation, you need someone, right? This is the word of God. So that means that what God is going to give you, someone of a like mind, someone of a like spirit, so that what? You can have what? Help along the way. And they're an extension to me because as your pastor, sometimes I'm not available, right? I'm a limited resource. I'm just one guy, husband, father, job, all that, same stuff you got, you know what I mean? And we don't want it to be a time where you need to reach out and access the church or access the pastor and can't. That's why you have been given a watch care person, a minister or a deacon, that is available to you. You have their name, their cell phone number, their email, to say, hey, I need some help. Okay? That's the purpose of the system, right? So everyone should have a watch care. Now, their job this month is to connect with you. Okay? You don't have to look for them. Sister Keisha has the list. If you're here today and you have not been contacted by a deacon or a minister, Sister Keisha has the list. Find out who you're. Do it right here, right now. Hopefully they're here today. Make that connection. Just know, okay, you're my watch care person, blah, 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 blah. Make sure you got their information. They got their information, all that type of. What? Well, it's almost Christmas. And 1 week away. I'm trying to help y'all again. Look, y'all done had 17 days. All right, whatever. They going to connect you back. But so there it is. There it is. So does that make sense? So when I say watch care, you know what I'm talking about now? Everybody got a general idea? Any questions about what I said? Anyone have a question about what I said, what I explained? Every adult has a watch care person. Every young adult and teenager has a watch care person. Okay? Everybody in good shape. No questions. Here I am. I'm standing right here. I'm not going anywhere. No questions. Okay? For you that are online, feel free to put your question in the chat or email it to info@taylortabernacle.com. Give you an opportunity. We'll respond to your question as well. And like I said, reach out. Deacons, ministers, find out who's your watch care person. They'll be reaching out to you, okay? Now, I want to say this in closing, right? This is not a one-way street, okay? It's not a one-way street. Here's the last thing. Watch care is not only as a pastor watching out for you. Each and every one of you has a responsibility to watch out for your pastor, okay? This concept is often not taught in churches, and as a result, that is why you see pastors grow weary and faint. Because everybody's focused on what the church or the pastor can do for them, and they never sow back into the pastor. So I don't care who you are or what you are, if you keep giving out, and never get anything back, eventually you're going to what? Going to run out, right? So watch care. There's a dual responsibility. Galatians 6:6 says what? Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Right? My responsibility is what? Teach the word of God. And so your responsibility is to reciprocate in some matter. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So what am I saying? One, I want you to, I'm saying this not from a selfish perspective. When I say pastor, I'm talking about whoever your pastor is. For the time being, it's me. But it won't always be. If you go and join another church, I'm not your, you know, but you got to understand, you got a role to reciprocate. How do you reciprocate? Any way you can. Reciprocate when you see your pastor, tell him thanks. Reciprocate when you see your pastor and say, hey, pastor, is there something I can help you with? I know I'm not a deacon, I don't mean a minister, but can I help you with that? When I was a little boy, they used to tell me, hey, carry, my number one job was to carry Dr. Taylor's pocketbook, her briefcase from the car to all. That was my job. And it was a help to her, right? Because women focus on what? Their pocketbooks. And she would often forget her briefcase. So I became a help to her. It wasn't nothing big. That was my job. Get her pocketbook, get it in the office. So when she needs, boom, there's all. So that's your responsibility. And don't take it lightly. And it ain't got to be nothing big. Just anything, you know, anything you can give, anything you can say. So back, listen to this. God never created anything without a cycle to it. Go through the creation. He didn't create anything that he didn't build it with a cycle. Because if God didn't build it with a cycle, it would have meant that God would have to forever do what? Keep creating. But after the 6 days, he said what? Finish. He said, I'm not done for the day. He said, I'm done forever. Why? Because I've built a system that's going to keep replenishing itself. I don't have to come down and create again on the eighth day. He said, in everything, he put it so that it could reproduce after its own kind. So just as the rain goes down, guess what it must do? It's got to evaporate and go what? Go back up into heaven. If God didn't build an evaporation system into our ecosystem, into our weather, heaven would run out of water. because it just keep coming down. But he built the system that what? The water could go back up. And then the cycle, it what? Keeps replenishing. He doesn't have to make a new Adam and a new Eve. Why? Because they're going to what? Reproduce after their own kind. That's how they'll feel. I don't have to come and create every man every moment. No, I built a cycle. You follow what I'm saying? And so just as much as your pastor, the ministers and the deacon as an extension, we teach, care for you. Remember to always care for your pastor as well. Okay? Everybody in good shape? Great. Now, we're done with that. And like I said, if you do have questions, always email, call, what have you. Find out who your watch care person is. Now, to all of our families, our friends that are here as our guests for the Angel Tree program, Todd, come open this door for them. You're going to, huh?